There exists a deep emotional hurt that causes lots of problems in people's lives. It can steal away sleep, steal away your health, and can ultimately diminish our capacity to enjoy life. It's that deep emotional pain in our hearts that we call guilt. Everyone suffers from it in some form and at some point in time. Everyone. And today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, he's going to look at God's prescription for those of us who tend to fall into a guilty conscience. The message today is entitled, Just What the Doctor Ordered, and it's from the series that we're featuring for the rest of this month entitled, The Recovery Room. Now, before we get into the message, a quick reminder that if your life has had a dramatic change and put you on a path that you never expected and surely didn't want, and you're trying to adapt to this new normal, then you'll want to get a copy of Pastor Jeff Shreve's new book called Life Interrupted, How to Face a New Normal. It's one of our special thank you gifts for our supporters this month. You can find out more at fromhisheart.org, and of course I'll tell you more later in the broadcast. Now though, let's conclude this powerful lesson about overcoming guilt. Open your Bible to Psalm chapter 32. Here now is Pastor Jeff with the cure for guilt, that is, just what the doctor ordered.
David was a man who knew about guilt. David was someone who knew about the past because he committed some terrible, horrible, horrible sins. And then David tries to cover up his sin. And the scripture says in 2 Samuel chapter 11 that the thing that David did was evil in the sight of the Lord. Evil in the sight of the Lord. David had done some terrible, horrible things. And he had guilt over what he did. And it was legitimate guilt. So here's the question. How do you get healing from a guilty conscience? What is the prescription? Now, it's a two-part prescription that God gives us to get healing that's found in Psalm 32 that God gives us to get healing from a guilty heart. And both parts deal with sin. Because the root cause of guilt and a guilty conscience is sin. So the prescription that the Lord gives, the great physician, has to deal with sin. Part number one, the Lord says, you must not deal with sin the world's way. Because the world has a way to deal with guilt and to deal with sin. And David tried the world's way first, and it did not work. See, the world's way, the world says, justify it. Just justify it in your mind that it was okay for you to do it. And so doubtless David went through in his head, and he said, well, you know, I mean, did I have sex with Bathsheba? Well, yeah, I did, but let's back up here. I'm the king. I mean, I am a cut above everybody else. I am entitled to things that other people aren't entitled to. And after all, I mean, it wasn't my fault. I mean, she was bathing on the roof. She was in eyeshot of me. She lured me. She set me up. And it really wasn't a sin, and it wasn't my fault. That's what he did. He tried to justify his actions. He tried to say that his sin was not a sin. The world says justify it, and the world says hide it. Hide it. Look what David said in verse 3. He said, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. David, not only did he try and justify it, but then he tried to hide it. He tried to take his sin and sweep it under the rug. He tried to cover it over. And everywhere David went, there was conviction from God. There was his conscience that was just writhing in pain. There was that gnawing of remorse over and over and over again. He was just being tormented inside because he tried to hide his sin and he was having physical pain. Very interesting, because guilt keeps people from sleeping. Guilt can give you an ulcer. Guilt can cause you to have eating disorders. Maybe you gain a lot of weight, or maybe you become anorexic. Guilt can even cause you to commit suicide. Judas was so overcome with remorse that he went out and hanged himself. Guilt can cause you to have a nervous breakdown. But not only does it cause pain, David said hiding your sin causes pressure from God. He says in verse 4, "For day and night your hand, God, was heavy upon me, heavy upon me." Now it uses the word at the end of verse 4, Selah. Selah is a musical term. Selah means pause. And David's saying, I want you to get the picture. Here I was hiding my sin. And he said, my body was drying up, all the juices, my vitality was drained away like water on a sidewalk on a sunny day. It just evaporates. And he said, and day and night, God, your hand was heavy upon me. And it was day and night and night and day and day and night and night and day and day and night and night and day. God wasn't letting up. David said, pause, because I was dying inside because of the weight of my sin. It brings pressure. Everyone gets pain, but now a Christian has pressure. Pressure from God, because if you are a child of God and you participate in sin and you don't get it right with God, God puts his heavy hand upon you, his heavy hand of pressure. And it's like David, day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. Listen, if you can sin and you don't feel the weight of God's convicting hand upon you, it means you've never been saved. That's what it means. Because if you're a child of God, God is going to get after his children who are rebelling against him. He's a good father. He's a good father. If you are a parent and you want to be a good mother, a good father, if your child is going down a road of destruction, what kind of a parent are you if you don't even say anything about it? God is a good parent. God will bring his heavy hand of conviction. A student came in to talk to his pastor one day, and he was talking, asking the pastor about his sermon. He said, Pastor, you're talking about the weight of sin and how a Christian feels the weight of sin and the weight of God's conviction. And he said, I don't understand that. He said, I sin and I don't feel anything. And the pastor said to him, he said, son, he said, what would a dead man feel if we put a 100-pound weight on his chest? Would he feel the weight of that burden? The kid said, no, he wouldn't feel that. He's dead. He said, that's right. And that's your problem. You're dead. And that's why you don't feel the heavy hand of God on your life. See, a Christian feels the pressure, and hiding your sin causes pressure. Listen, that's the world's way. Justify it, hide it, sweep it under the rug. God says, don't go that way, because you're never going to get healing from the deep hurt in your heart. So part number two of God's prescription, not hide your sin, not deal with it the world's way. You must deal with your sin God's way. And when you deal with your sin God's way, look what happens. Look in verse 1 again. David said, how blessed, because David dealt with it God's way. He tried the world's way, but now he's going God's way. And he starts off this psalm by saying, how blessed, how happy, how fortunate, how envious am I because of what God has done. He has forgiven my transgression. My sin, he says in verse 2, is covered. And then he says, how blessed, how happy, how fortunate, how wonderful, how joyous it is for the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there's no deceit. Now he says, this is what happened. When you come God's way, God forgives your sin. God cleanses your sin, covers your sin, doesn't even show. And then God wipes it out. It's not on your record anymore. God puts it on his computer and hits delete. And when your name comes up, it's not there. There's no record at all of that offense that you did. You say, well, that sounds great. Boy, I'd like to get that to happen inside of me. How does it happen? The formula, the plan is found in verse 5. When David said, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and Lord, you forgave the guilt of my sin. See, God says, acknowledge your sin. You want to be healed from a guilty conscience? Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your sin. That means be open and honest about your sin. Take your sin out of the closet and bring it out on the table. Rick Warren says, you're only as sick as your secrets. You're only as sick as your secrets. And sin thrives in the darkness. It's like some type of a fungus. It just likes the darkness, and it lurks in the darkness. And you bring your sin to the light, and you acknowledge your sin. People don't like to do that. And people don't like to really call sin a sin. You know what they do? See, we have names for sin. I mean, we don't call adultery adultery. What do we call it? We say, well, it's an indiscretion. It was a lapse of judgment. That sounds so much better. It was an extramarital affair. That almost sounds like a good thing, like a bonus. They get something extra. Extramarital affair, good. No, God says call it what it is. You acknowledge your sin to God. And you call a sin a sin. And not only do you acknowledge your sin to God, God says confess your sin. See, it's one thing to acknowledge it. Lord, this is what I did. But then you confess it. That goes deeper. That is deeper than just acknowledging it. Confession means you agree with God. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what do I have to do? I have to confess my sins. And if I don't confess my sins, God is not going to forgive me. Now that word confess in the Greek language is the word homologeo. That means literally to say the same thing. It means you agree with God about your sin. Now, here's the thing. It's not just that I acknowledge my sin to you. It's not just that David said, God, this is what I did. I lusted and I had an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, and then I lied about it, and then I had her husband Uriah whacked out, and then I covered it up. It's not just, see, he laid that all on the table. He had to do that. He had to acknowledge it. But it's not just that you acknowledge it, and then David had to go and say, and God, all of those things were wrong. And I agree with you, God, that they were wrong. And not only did I break your law, but I broke your heart. And God, I'm so sorry. God, I'm so sorry. That's a confession. I have a guy that I've been talking to who's a homosexual. And we were talking one day and kind of getting into a little heated discussion. And I just said, whoa, back up, time out. I said, let me tell you the difference between you and me. I said, here's the difference. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. That's the same thing. Your sin is different from my sin, but we're both sinners. But here's the difference. I said, you're trying to justify your sin. And I've confessed my sin to Almighty God. I've agreed with God about the sins that I've committed in my life, and I have confessed them, and I have forsaken them, and you're trying to justify your sin. Now, he would acknowledge what he's done. Yeah, he's had a lot of sexual encounters with men. He'd acknowledge that, and then he'd say, that's not a sin. And I am right to do that. See, he wouldn't confess it. He wouldn't agree with God that it was wrong. Now, when he says here in the Hebrew, when he says, I acknowledge my sin to thee and my iniquity I did not hide, I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. That word confess in the Hebrew literally means to cast down. And it has the idea of repentance. It's not just I acknowledge it, Lord, this is what I did, and I confess it. God, I agree with you, that is wrong, but you cast it down. And you say, and God, I don't want that in my life anymore. See, it's kind of like the person who is struggling with alcohol. It's not just, God, forgive me for the alcohol. God, I'm messing up my life with the alcohol. But it's God, and I take all that alcohol that I have in my house, and I pour it down the sink. Listen, if you're having trouble with pornography in your life, get it out of your life. Cast it out and talk to a friend about it, somebody that you can trust. You're only as sick as your secrets. And see, you get that stuff out. If you have a friend that's getting you into trouble in your relationship with gossip or with rebellion or something like that, you get away from that friend. Bad company corrupts good morals, and you throw it down. God says, acknowledge your sin. God says, confess your sin. You say, oh, Jeff, I've done both of those things. With the sin that I've committed, I have done both of those things, and I still feel so guilty inside. One thing you haven't done yet. You need to believe God. God says, believe me with regard to forgiveness. See, the Lord is able to forgive you. He is able to forgive you. When Jesus was preaching one day in the house, there was no room for anybody else to get in the house. And these four men had a friend who was a paralytic, and they wanted to get that paralytic to Jesus. So they said, how are we going to get him to Jesus? So they went up on the roof and they cut a hole out in the roof and they lowered this man down, and he was there in front of Jesus. They lowered him down from the roof. And the scripture says, Jesus, seeing their faith, the faith of those four guys and the faith of the paralytic, he said to that paralytic, your sins are forgiven you. And the Pharisees were there, and they gasped. They reasoned in their minds, and they said, this fellow blasphemes. Who is able to forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he knew what they were thinking. And he said to them, which is easier to say to this man, your sins are forgiven, or arise, take up your pallet, and go home? Well, see, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because nobody can see that. It's harder to say, arise, take up your pallet and go home because everybody can see if that's going to happen. He said, but in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, arise, take up your pallet and go home. And the man arose and took up his pallet and went home singing, to God be the glory. And the Lord is able to forgive you no matter what you've done. He's able to forgive you. He has authority on earth to forgive sins. But not only is he able to forgive you, he is ready to forgive you. Psalm 86, verse 5, great verse. Need to memorize it. It says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. God, you're ready, so ready to forgive. See, the devil will lie to you and say, no. You have sinned too greatly. Hey, Jeff's talking to some other people, but he's not talking to you because you know what you've done, and God is not ready to forgive you, and he won't forgive you. But the devil's a liar and the father of lies. The Lord says he's ready to forgive. He's abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon thee. When Jesus told that story about the prodigal son, that prodigal son had done so many terrible things. And it says that when he came to his senses and said, I will get up and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but just make me like one of your hired men. And he got up from that pigsty where he was, and he started on his way back home. And the Bible says that his father, who is God, says while he was a long way off, that father saw him. And that father girded up his robe, and that father ran to him, and that father hugged him and kissed him and forgave him while he was a long way off. You know how that father saw him when he was a long way off? He was looking for him. That father was out on his porch every day looking at the end of the road to see, is this the day? Is this the day? Perhaps this is the day that my son will come home. And when he saw him a long way off, he ran to him. And the Lord is ready to forgive you. The song says, if you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. He's able, he's ready, and he's faithful to forgive you. Faithful to forgive you. That means when God forgives, he forgives completely and totally. He doesn't forgive you in parts. He doesn't do it sometimes. He does it all the time. Some of you are walking around like damaged goods. You're walking around like Hester Prynne in the book, The Scarlet Letter, and you've committed a terrible sin. Maybe it is adultery, and you have in your heart inside, you have a scarlet A on your heart, and everywhere you go, you just feel like such a second-class Christian because of this sin that you've committed. It's a scarlet A for adultery. It's a scarlet A for abortion. It's a scarlet S for deep sexual sin, and you just wear that. There are no scarlet A's. There is none of that in the kingdom of God. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 1 and 18, though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And God is able to wash the vilest offender who truly believes. He's able to wash that white as snow and clean you up inside. The song by Horatio Spafford says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Pastor was talking to a lady who was having such a difficult time in life, and she told the pastor, she said, I can't even get up out of bed anymore. She said, I'm so miserable. I don't want to go on with life. I just want to die. He said to her, he said, ma'am, he said, is there something in your life that you have deep regret about? She said, oh, yes, yes. And she began to open up her heart, and she said, my husband travels a lot, And he's gone a lot, gone weeks at a time. And she said, I ended up having an affair while my husband was gone. And then I got pregnant. And I didn't want him to know. And then I had an abortion. And I haven't told him about any of these things. And she said, the guilt of what I have done is just eating me up inside. I don't want to live anymore. And he said to her, ma'am, you can come to Jesus and he'll forgive you and he'll cleanse you of that sin if you'll just put your faith and trust in him and let the blood that he shed on the cross, let that apply to your sin-sick heart and to wash away all that sin. And she said, what do I have to do? And he said, you just have to pray and invite him in and get your life right with him. And she said, that just seems too easy. It doesn't seem fair. The deep sin that I committed, it seems that somebody ought to pay for what I've done. And he said, oh, don't you understand? Somebody has paid. His name is Jesus. Jesus paid for all your sin on the cross. He says, if you acknowledge your sin to me and confess it and throw it down and believe me, I will wash you whiter than snow.
Would you like to have your entire sin debt paid in full? We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus saves when we come to him through repentance and faith. And when we do that, our desires, our want-tos, our motivations, and our service go to him as our loving response for what he has already done for us. If you would like to find out more about what that really means, spiritually and practically, please go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link for some free materials to help you in your Christian journey. Again, go to fromhisheart.org/Jesus, and you'll find that your life will be changed forever. Now remember, it doesn't mean that life will be a bed of roses, however. All of us experience changes in life, and some receive changes that are devastating, like the loss of a child, a marriage, a job, our health, and many, many more. To help you cope with that pain and to find real healing, Pastor Jeff Shreve has a brand new book that'll help explain how to live joyfully in your new normal and give you the insight and courage to face a new day. It's called Life Interrupted, How to Face a New Normal, and we'd like to get you a copy as our thanks for your support to From His Heart this month of $20 or more. And with a gift of $40, we'll send you the book along with the new 5-message companion series, Life Goes On. It's a great series that you'll love. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. Or go online to fromhisheart.org and know that life may be interrupted, but God knew this was coming and is walking you through it. Learn more today and get these 2 new resources from Pastor Jeff. And thank you for your support for this outreach. You are helping us reach the world with the good news of Jesus. We're out of time for now. Thanks for joining us for today. And know that Pastor Jeff will be back tomorrow with the next lesson in this really practical series dealing with your emotions, in a message entitled Surviving the Great Depression. That's on Wednesday, when we'll open God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org.